Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. If you're struggling to balance your caseload and bring in new clients, I urge you to give Daylight a try. It transforms the way you manage your day-to-day and can save you hours each week. I've been using Daylight, as you know, for years to manage clients and cases. It's also the Mac CRM that my good friend Victor Medina's law firm uses as well. There's a new team view in Daylight that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on all in one cohesive view. If you're interested in trying out Daylight, visit marketcircle.com/daylight to start a free 30-day trial. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 61 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host as always, and today I have a great guest, Ingar Grev. Ingar is a multi-industry, multidisciplinary leader who has improved operations in a number of businesses as a manager and as a consultant. He has a breadth and depth of experience that is difficult for most executives to match, which makes him an ideal advisor and coach for any industry, including the legal profession. His thought leadership is recognized through his national column in the business journals. And today, we're going to talk about coaching in general, technology and growth. But specifically, we're going to talk about LinkedIn as a platform for leveraging your business contacts such that you can sustain growth in your law firm. So I think it's a really interesting conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. With that, here is Ingar Grev. Hey there, Ingar Grev. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
It's my pleasure to be here, Neil. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Ingar, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today and what you're all about.
Sure. Well, I own the Growth Coach franchise here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I've been with that firm for about 10 years now. Before that, I was a leader in the engineering space, worked with large defense contractors like Raytheon, Boeing. I was in the telecom industry, and what ultimately got me from being a heavy engineer into the coaching business was specifically a problem I saw when I was funding companies at or on behalf of the Missile Defense Agency. I saw a lot of companies had some issues in being able to execute. And that's where I realized that, you know, as I've known actually for a long time in my career, great technology is one thing, but if you can't execute it, then you have a problem, right? Because then no one wants to buy it. And that's what got me into the coaching business. And so just to wrap it up by saying that, you know, the way to look at me is not like Tony Robbins or something like that. And no offense at all meant to Tony Robbins. I'm really just a business and operations and sales process and procedures guy, right? So we know that that's how you get businesses and everything to work awesome is when you have great systems, you lead and execute the systems well, and that creates all kinds of results. So that's what got me to where I am today.
Yeah, well, processes and procedures are everything in terms of streamlining your business and making it profitable and making it repeatable and scalable. So for small law firms, that is, you know, in a lot of ways, the holy grail.
Well, yeah, absolutely, right? And you know, if you now that's a little different, of course, as you know, in the legal business. But for many businesses, that scalable and sustainable component of it also drives up the value of the business, right? So the more you can demonstrate that the business is not dependent upon the owner, the higher the value is to potential acquirer, because they know they're not buying a job and they're not buying a problem. What they're buying is a cash flow generating machine. And that's as valuable as the present value of those future cash flows, which makes it pretty awesome. So that's the, you know, so you get your quality of life back, your business grows, and it's worth a ton of money when you sell it. So there's all kinds of great things that come from merely running your business like a real business instead of a glorified job.
Well, one of the reasons that we started this podcast was to explore just that point of view. Frankly, law schools themselves are notoriously poor for teaching their graduates how to run a business. And so, unfortunately, a lot of attorneys, myself included, believe me, had no idea how to run a law firm when we got out of law school. And so it's business coaches that can help steer a practitioner to that type of scalability and repeatability that are going to help, you know, raise all the boats in the harbor, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a plurality of my clients actually have been attorneys, either with their own shingle or at very large law firms, or I spent a year as a COO for an international law firm, a small company with about seven or eight attorneys. So, you know, I've seen a lot of legal business, and yeah, preach on, brother. It's a big deal.
And, you know, several of our guests have already spoken to the need to, you know, remove the owner, remove the single solo attorney from the everyday business of practicing law and having them be, you know, the COO of their own business. And that's the way to grow and make your law firm profitable.
Yeah, or even hiring a COO for your own business so that you can be more the CEO executive of your company. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, it's through, although a lot of us, when we start our businesses, really just kind of want to have our own shingle. After a while, you know, the issue becomes one of sustainability and scalability, right? You start, if you're successful at what you do, you're going to start getting hamstrung by all the clients you get, which is a good thing. But now you start having problems with delivery, right? Or quality of that delivery.
Or as you say, execution.
Right. And now things start falling apart because you're a victim of your success. And then a lot of times what happens is we hire somebody then to help us. You know, the legal profession, you hire a paralegal or even bring on a partner or an associate. But you maintain a stranglehold on everything. So every transaction, every single letter, everything still goes through you somehow. So it still causes a scalability problem, even in a practice, even when you hire people. And so then the key is to be able to learn how to not outsource, but how to delegate, how to have systems and processes and metrics in place to measure that stuff. And to be constantly proactive with the idea that I got to grow an enterprise, because otherwise you'll see these guys, right? Neil, you see them all over your life too. You have the attorneys who have done that correctly and they have a pretty good life. You know, they don't work too many hours. They can take time off when they need to and so forth. And you have the ones that don't figure it out. And they're the ones who email you at 2:00 in the morning.
Indeed. Now, You know, you mentioned a little earlier about your previous life in the technology space. You and I danced around the Beltway together a few years ago. As I was in the same situation, I was a systems engineer in the telecommunications and DoD arenas. And I was speaking actually to a law client just the other day when we were going through a family law matter who was in that technology space. And we were marveling at the fact that, you know, when I was helping in the space program, the DoD space program, the computers that we were using to then are in our pockets now.
Yeah.
You know, we put men on the moon with less computing capability than we have on an iPhone 7, it seems. So talk for a couple of minutes about your observations in terms of technology and how that's accelerated the growth of business.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. What technology ultimately does when we look at it in terms of business is it streamlines or eliminates things that are repetitive or require labor. Now, you know, as soon as you say, well, it requires labor, you say, well, you're going to lay people off. Well, that's not necessarily what we're trying to do with technology. So, and I'm just going to wax on here for a little bit, because just make sure I cover all the different aspects of what your question is. But the thing about technology is technology is what allows me to make the most out of my business, ultimately, right? And if it, and you will see a lot of times I've worked with clients who loved technology and automation in certain areas and didn't love it in others. And one of the problems they always had is they felt that somehow through automation or using the newest tools that were available, they were going to reduce the quality of their interaction with their client. And the most important thing I always want to make sure clients understand is that, you know, you don't need to automate. So it's not like calling the phone company or calling the bank and going, getting on hold for a little bit. What you're trying to do specifically is automate those tasks that are repeatable and don't necessarily need a human being to watch over them all the time. And you can design a system, and when I say system, I'm not talking about technology, I'm talking about the interface, right, between the people and the technology. You can design a system that just gets rid of a lot of the menial, repetitive work associated with what you're trying to do in terms of managing that client experience, and focus your time specifically on those things that are qualitative, like such as talking to your client and getting information from him, right? So I'll use the legal paradigm for it, right? So you can actually spend time doing the research that you need to do in order to help out their client instead of spending all this time going back and forth in Clio or whatever billing system you use to you know, understand what the invoices say in the right way, you know, or hiring somebody to do a lot of brute force mechanics associated with managing your billing system. If you can figure out just really easy ways to streamline that stuff, well, it just transforms your business, because now you can have your people use their brain power for doing more valuable things. And so technology is almost always awesome in a business. We shouldn't be afraid of it. Along those same lines, we can't rely on it too much. And so that means that, you know, when we buy technology, we can't just say, well, I'm going to plug it in, it's going to work. That causes other problems. Or you say, oh, I'm going to outsource my technology solution provision to my IT guy. Well, your IT guy is looking at it from the perspective of IT, not looking at it from the perspective of how do I solve the labor problems I have in my company and my customer solution problems I have in my company. And so you can't just outsource technology that you use in your company to your technology people, because technology provides solutions, not technology. You don't buy a speaker, you don't buy a brand new home entertainment system for your house because it's got cool technology in it. You buy it because of the experience it provides.
Well, I might be guilty of buying for the shiny bells and whistles on occasion.
But you're still buying it for the experience, though. You're buying it for the experience, not because of the code that is built into the processor.
Exactly. You know, now one of the things I think has been my observation is particularly in the legal space, is that, you know, there's a fair number of folks who, you know, stick their toe in the technology arena, but don't really fully commit. And you hear it all the time when you hear people say, well, oh, I tried search engine optimization, it didn't work. Or I have a LinkedIn profile, it doesn't do anything for me. I know you're a huge proponent of LinkedIn, and let's just use that as an example. You know, what are some of the reasons, or why do you think a platform such as LinkedIn is important? And what are some of the ways that we can exploit that platform to grow our businesses?
Well, you know, and 'twasn't always thus, right? I, like many people, just maintained my profile on LinkedIn and used it as a career and advancement tool, right? For much of my, I was user number 533,000 or something like that on LinkedIn, right? So it's first year of operation, I was a user. So I think I'm going on year 12 now, 13 of being on LinkedIn. I think it founded in 04, 05. It was only recently, I'd say back in 2013, when I started realizing the incredible power of LinkedIn. And that was, this story is instructive, so bear with me for a moment. I was working with an organization in my church, specifically to help people find work. And I had some people who were helping me put it together. One of the folks said, well, we should create some kind of database or something like that so we can collect all the data so we know, you know, having access to people who can provide networking assistance and so forth. And it just struck me. It's like, well, why would I want to do all that stuff when I've got LinkedIn? You know, because the thing about LinkedIn is that it is a professional database that people are incentivized to update and maintain. So from the perspective of just an executive or a manager in a company or some kind of technologist, they want to keep their LinkedIn profile updated so that they can find the next career. Similarly, business owners, other attorneys, so forth, do the same thing because they're trying to find clients or network and do stuff like that. And so most people, I would say, well, I'm not too sure I can say they use the word most. A lot of people on LinkedIn maintain that profile. So in terms of you trying to understand what people are doing, where they're doing it, and what some problems they may be having and so forth are, LinkedIn is the awesome source for that. You know, there's always complaining about LinkedIn changing here and there, and there's the new changes, and it's not the same platform it used to be. But it still is a spot where people go to maintain their data. And so it really, just think about it from a resource perspective, is phenomenal. And so that when we made that realization in 2013, that's what got me thinking that I need to find new ways to be able to make the most of the LinkedIn platform. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And what are some of those ways that you leverage the platform to your benefit?
Yeah, so there's a couple of really great things that come from LinkedIn, and they have their analogies out in the physical world, right? So one of them is, of course, meeting new people. So, you know, one of the things that I do is I reach out to new people. And you know, as you know, you and I know, I have an entire process I use here for LinkedIn, but I'll work my way through here to help us understand it. One is that I reach out to new people. And so I personally have a process that I use where I search for CEOs, partners, presidents, founders, I'm missing some things there, but just all the senior executives in a company, right?
C-suite type personnel.
Yeah. But also, like I said, partners in law firms, so forth. So I go through a process of searching for them in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and I send them invitations to join my network. And there are a number of people who say, well, you know, I don't want to connect with people I don't know off LinkedIn. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all, right? I mean, why? You know, you already know the people you know. It's not Facebook. Facebook is for friends. LinkedIn is for business. So if you're a professional, let's say that you have someone listening to this podcast right now who is just a professional and doesn't really want to start a job right now, but wants to or started a business right now, but wants to, you know, wants to promote in his or her company or find a new job. You know, the more people you reach out to, the more opportunities you have to find those jobs. For example, last week, just through connecting to somebody, I closed a deal. I mean, the guy, just through my LinkedIn connection to him, came back to me and says, hey, can we have lunch? Had lunch the next day on Friday. And next thing you know, we closed a deal on Monday. All just from the LinkedIn connection request. We don't know more people than we do know, if that makes sense, right? So let's reach out to them and grow that. So that starts growing out our opportunities to find connections. It's not just about getting business.
Well, the irony is that if you say networking is the lifeblood of business development, well, why wouldn't you want to reach out on LinkedIn to network with your ideal, you know, either referral source or client?
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons for that, Neil, frankly, is fear.
Yeah, people say I don't want to reach out to somebody I don't know, but isn't that by definition what networking is?
Yeah, people who are so the challenge I throw down to your audience regarding this reluctance to reach out to people you don't know is that if you are reluctant at all to reach out to people you don't know, you should not be in business for yourself. Right. Period.
Right.
Should not be in any kind of business development position either, because if you are, unfortunately for you, in those positions, then you need to get over it immediately. Think about it from the perspective of just your mortgage. That person out there who you don't know, is that person's perception of you going to do anything, or negative perception of you going to do anything in terms of helping you pay your mortgage? Absolutely nothing. You know, so if you're in sales, you got to understand that it's time to move on all the time. If someone doesn't like your ketchup, I have a story about ketchup. If someone doesn't like your ketchup, you don't have to get upset about it. Just move on to the next person until you, a waiter, right? Waiter comes up to your table and says, hey, you want some ketchup? You say no. The waiter doesn't go back in the kitchen and start crying because you don't want his ketchup, right? He goes to the next table. Want some ketchup? Yes, please, right? So same thing with you. You don't have to get upset because someone doesn't like your ketchup. Just move along.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. So that's your first step, is to reach out actively and specifically to people that you want to add to your network. What then?
So that's actually a component. I wouldn't say that's the first step. I'd say that's a component of the idea of using LinkedIn, right? So I can meet new people all the time without necessarily having to go to a networking event and having to be a crapshoot. I'm not talking you out of avoiding networking events, mm-hmm. right? So now in terms of using LinkedIn, again, so now I meet all these people, so to speak, they all get into my network, and because we've connected, I have permission to reach out to them, right? I actually have a way to reach out to that person. I can either reach out to them directly on LinkedIn, or if it looks like their email address is one, you have to have some kind of gut feel for it. If their email address that they've got posted for themselves there on their LinkedIn profile, if it's one you feel you can connect to, you can use that email address. It's just, you have to get a feel for that, right? But the idea then is to understand, all right, now, how do I want to reach out to these folks? What are the different ways that I can engage with the people in my network and provide them value? And so, or look for an opportunity for business. So I'll tell you from my perspective, I've created several different categories that I use in order for me to develop opportunities. I can categorize somebody as a sales coaching prospect. So that'd be like a solopreneur, an attorney who's got his own shingle, or someone who actually just does sales for a living. I categorize people as business owners. So if it looks like they've got a few employees and been in business for a few years, I categorize them as business owner prospects. If they are in large companies, I can categorize them as executive coaching or strategic consulting engagements. And if they're in private equity or some of that, I can look at them in terms of doing interim executive work, so for the companies in their portfolio. Those are just some examples. If there are people who I have no idea at all how I can categorize, I'll put them into other categories, one called maybe review later, and another one called invite to events, if I can't see anything else. So if I have a networking event or a speaking engagement or some of that, I can invite them to come to that event. But those are some ideas about how, but each one of those has a specific purpose in terms of the communication strategy I'm going to use for that outreach. But this is key. So, Neil, if I may, right, what I'm talking right now is a process of using LinkedIn for business development, right, which is the muscular process to reach out to your network and to develop opportunities for yourself. It's a subset of marketing. You have marketing that has all kinds of things associated with it, social media, advertising, podcasts, stuff like that. And then I've got business development, which is more proactive. Right? I'm punching my hand on my fist. You're going out there and you're proactively looking for opportunities. So this is what I'm presenting here, is this opportunity to actually use LinkedIn for business development. And so when I understand those categories, I can begin to come up with a communication and engagement strategy for each one of those areas.
How do you implement that engagement strategy?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Again, up until very recently, LinkedIn had a categorization scheme. You could tag contacts how you wanted them. And then when you felt like it was time for you to reach out to them, you could do a couple of things. I use some automated software to help me to reach out to large groups of categories at one time. But LinkedIn has really gotten rid of that tagging process, and so now I do that sort of in a quasi manual way. And so let me step back for a second and say that so what I do is I categorize contacts in two large categories. One is I'm going to manage them in LinkedIn. The other one is I'm going to manage them in my CRM. Now that LinkedIn has changed, I'm still working on how exactly the best process is to do that. But why do I have those two categories? The CRM is for somebody with whom I've actually had some kind of engagement. We met at an event, or we chatted back and forth over LinkedIn, whatever. We had some kind of communication. I'm managing my CRM. If I'm only connected with you on LinkedIn, we haven't had any kind of engagement at all, then I'm going to manage you in LinkedIn. And if I manage you in LinkedIn, and I write down those categories in an Excel spreadsheet that I mentioned, I have a date tied to it so that I have an appropriate follow-up process. And I know last time I reached out to them. So for example, every new contact I'm reaching out to this month on LinkedIn all starts off with a code of 0417, April 17. And then what the purpose of that reach out was: sales, business owner, executive interim executive work, you know, executive coaching, interim executive work. And then, you know, my CRM is completely different, but you know, this is, we're not going to talk about CRMs today, but I manage them completely differently in my CRM. But then what I could do is that whenever it's time, I just go back to those group of people on LinkedIn and reached out to them with the follow-up process, you know. So it's been 6 months since I invited them to a webinar. I'll come back and invite them again to another webinar, for example. And it allows me to maintain and start to try to grow relationships in a very proactive, muscular way on LinkedIn.
So I'm wondering what CRM are you using? Are you just using a spreadsheet?
No. So, yeah, spreadsheets are horrific, right, for CRMs. So you should use a professional CRM. I use Contactually, which is a local company here in the D.C. area.
That was going to be my leading question. Do you use Contactually? Because, you know, Zvi Mann was a guest on our show way back in the early beginning, and Z is the CEO of Contactually. And it's a great tool for doing exactly what you're talking about, putting contacts in buckets and then managing that communication strategy.
Yeah, let me give you a specific number. So I told you before how I was an interim CEO for a international law firm, right?
Yep.
Before then, they had some piece of crap CRM. I came on board, implemented Contactually, and along with some sales training I provided to the team and some process changes and so forth, they were flat for 3 years straight. I increased their sales 37% and added 5% to the margin. And I give a tremendous amount of credit to Contactually for helping me do that. And so as a result of that, I'm a big proponent of Contactually, and I encourage my clients to use it. I'm an affiliate of Contactually, and I'm a very aggressive user of it myself.
Exactly. Now, I also know that you're a huge fan just of Russell Branson's book, .com Secrets, and how that kind of dovetails in with this whole process of managing the communication strategy. Talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, so it was specifically when I started working on these ways to reach out to people on LinkedIn. I started working with a company to help me understand how to do better messaging on LinkedIn. I had some automated tools to help me communicate on LinkedIn. And when I started doing that, I realized that I needed a better way to engage with people. It wasn't good enough for me to throw sales pitches at people, hey, especially in what I do, right? Or even what you do, right? I mean, you can't say, hey, you know, I'm a business coach. I heard your business sucks. You want to get started with me? You can't do that. Coaching doesn't really sell all that easy in terms of doing it that way, right? You have to help people understand what that process is. And so I struggled for a while trying to figure out. And then, you know, the company Mojo Global that I used for my LinkedIn marketing support, they recommended Russell Brunson's book. This was 2 years ago, actually. Summer 2015. And so I bought the book, and as opposed to a lot of other people, I didn't buy it, it was free, actually. As opposed to a lot of people who get the book and don't read it, I must have read it 4 or 5 times in the month of July. It allowed me to come up with that mousetrap, right? Which is the process that, and I hate to make it sound so salesy, but that's what it is. I need to figure out what that engagement process is. And Russell Brunson's book was dynamite at being able to lay it out very, very simply. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, Neil, and, you know, just we've talked about other things before, too. And you know that I don't crow about books ever. Yeah, but Brunson's book was absolutely transformational in terms of understanding his process, the very simple marketing process of a value ladder. And then so working with ClickFunnels, which is his company, at first I was going to try to do it myself, but then I said, you know something, ClickFunnels is just the way to do it. And so I signed up for ClickFunnels, and I started creating my marketing funnels, which then gave me an awesome way to reach out to people. You know, he taught us how to build webinars and so forth. That's what his book teaches that. And he gives away this stuff for free. Right? He teaches this process of creating webinars, the best way to do it and so forth. So I created webinars. Bought a system called EverWebinar to do that with, and then created these marketing funnels. And then I used that approach to reach out to people on LinkedIn. You know, if someone's a salesperson, I send them my business development webinar. Hey, you know, I'd like to personally invite you to attend my next business development webinar. It's very simple. If he wants it, great. If he doesn't, great. But, you know, it doesn't cost anything for him. And all I'm doing is inviting him to the webinar. You know, so for my business owner prospects, I sent him an invite to my 15 Tips for Improving Business Operations webinar. And then also just for other things, for consulting deals and so forth, I have different funnels designed for to help me with consulting. You know, and we can talk for hours about all the nuances associated with those processes, right? But I've learned Russell Brunson his book is the one that specifically got me on that journey.
Yeah, I don't think that the book has left my desk since, the surface of my desk since I got it. I just keep going back and forth, and it's pretty beat up right now. It's called RussellBrunson.com Secrets, the Underground Playbook for Growing Your Company Online. And I agree with you. I can't speak highly enough about it. It's for sure, it's an easy book to read. It's not very long, but it's so packed with information and useful takeaways that you have no difficulty reading it over and over and over again and getting something out of it each and every time.
Exactly. I mean, I can't recommend it enough to any business owner or marketer. I mean, because it is a extremely detailed book. And he uses his free plus shipping offer, right? Which is you buy it for free, you just pay for shipping. And then because he's got you to pay for shipping, he sees if he can upsell you for something else. And, you know, and we learn all about that in the book. So you and I keep that a secret. We won't tell everybody about that right now.
Of course, I'm drawn to the book and to the author because he was an NCAA wrestling champion. So that's always piques my interest. So, Ingar, let's wrap this up then and chat just a little bit about what the growth coach is, because I'm kind of unsure where all of this fits in with the grander picture.
Well, so all we just talked about, right, was the idea that how do we engage and get people involved in my business, right? How do I find clients? And, you know, so, and I'll, well, one of the challenges we have in the coaching business is there's a lot of misunderstanding about coaching, and a lot of our competitors out there are charlatans, or they spend a lot of time on more esoteric things like personal improvement. I don't have a problem with personal improvement, but the problem with personal improvement is like going on a diet. You know, you might be successful with it, but there's a good chance you won't be. And so we don't do anything associated with those esoteric personal improvement things because, you know, it's not really going to be very successful necessarily. And I can't guarantee or drive that success, but I can do that as a business/sales coach where I focus on process and systems, right? And accountability. These are the things that are going to drive performance in a company. And that's what got me engaged in the growth coach first 10 years ago when I was trying to figure out a way, just from an academic perspective, how to solve the problems that these companies I was working with were having. And I'd spent a lot of time just developing consulting approaches, and my master's degree in systems engineering was focused on these consulting approaches. But the growth coach exactly solved the problem, which was getting a business owner to redesign his business so it runs off of systems and processes and metrics and leadership and management and strategy and all the things that successful businesses have, right? But it requires coaching to do that, because you come in as a consultant, you're not going to stop the behavior that caused you to be hired as a consultant in the first place, right? So you can build perfect systems, but if the business owner is still going to micromanage, if the business owner is still going to be a jerk to work with, if the business owner isn't going to use metrics, then and not going to create a strategy, then doesn't matter how awesome your strategy is, the business is still going to have problems. And just for your readers out there or your listeners out there, how do you know when a business doesn't have a business coach? They're flat for a couple of years. You know, business has not grown for several years. The business owner emails you at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're working on their vacations and all this stuff, and they're doing it because all their peers are doing it. Well, all my peers are doing it, so it must be the cool thing to do. And it's completely not true. It's going to guarantee you're not going to have a valuable business. You're going to, when you sell it someday or give it to your kids, you're going to create a headache for the next person.
No,
that's what the coach is all about. We also have a sales coaching perspective, which focuses specifically on the niche of sales, right? So where I implement CRMs for, I do promote Contactually, but I'll work with whatever CRMs they use and we'll walk them through a sales process. We'll help them learn how to execute that sales process. And then we'll put them through an accountability process in order to do that. So, and the Growth Coach is a global franchise. Offices around the world, and one of the reasons we can do as a result of us being focused on systems and processes, and not on esoteric personal improvement, we can guarantee it. And so we have 100% money back guarantee associated with our program.
No, can't argue with that, can you?
Nope.
So, well, Ingrid, tell our audience how they can reach out to you, how they can follow up if they have further questions or want to explore things more with you.
Yeah, so really quickly, one of the best ways to learn about me and our business is just go to dcgrowthcoach.com. Again, it's DC as in Washington, DC, Delta Charlie, growthcoach.com. And dcgrowthcoach.com, when you get there, you'll see my ClickFunnels website. And I provide access immediately to the two webinars that I have that I'm running right now, although they're probably going to change pretty shortly. But you can get access to those for free. I do charge for them, but through my homepage, I do offer it for free in return for your email address. Just to let you know, one of the ways that I work with people is that I have this thing called the Coaching Club that, again, Russell Brunson's book helped me set up, which is I have a membership area where I do this virtual online group coaching. And if you don't know anything about group coaching, if you think that individual coaching is awesome, it's nowhere near as powerful as group coaching because you have information sharing between people. And because it's coaching, it's not a peer group, it's a coached facilitated group. So it's not a pitch session, it's just coaching. And you'll learn about that as you go through the webinars. We provide information about that, but it's a fantastic way to transform your business at a low cost because I'm able to do that by virtue of the fact that it's virtual online.
All right, Ingrid. Well, thanks ever so much for spending some time with us today. I do appreciate it, and I hope our listeners enjoyed listening to the DC Growth Coach here on The Law Entrepreneur, and let's get together and do it again sometime.
My pleasure, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.